Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, you lovely lot, and welcome to Tuesday Night Jaw. Or in the case of this episode, Monday Night Jaw. Ooh, we're going head-to-head with the big boys. We're not. It's literally because this podcast has taken me quite a while to finish off. I've got loads of excuses. Loads of them. Pip, if you're listening to this, my next door neighbour was getting a stove fitted, therefore it was really noisy and I couldn't record anywhere quiet. And then I had to re-record loads of bits and pieces of it, and then I wanted added more stuff, and I can show all my work in, and my cat ate the homework as well. There are my excuses for it being late slash why it's coming out on a Monday. But the good thing about this week is you're listening to this episode, hopefully, on a Monday, and then the Tuesday Night Jaw episode of that week is coming out on Tuesday, so you've got a double bill. The episode that is out tomorrow slash the next episode on the podcast is the Breakout British Stars of 2019. I'll be recording with Sam Bailey, where we all choose probably like about a top five of our favourite slash people we think have had a really breakout year on the British scene. We'll encourage as well, after you know, listen to the podcast, but we'll encourage you guys to drop me a tweet and let me know who you think your top five breakout stars on the British scene have been this year. So you're getting a double whammy. I'd say two for the price of one, but, you know, it's not true. That's like Tesco's when they're like, oh, buy this apple for £1 or get free for £1.50. Anyway, if you want to skip ahead to the actual bit of the episode that you're probably here to listen to, I'll probably put the time stamp in the description so you can just skip straight ahead to the actual podcast that you actually come to listen. So yeah, don't worry, I'll put that below. Okay, so that's what's coming up this week on Tuesday Night Jaw. We are also approaching award season. Definitely for Tuesday Night Jaw, it is going to the end of the year. So I'm going to start putting together the end of year awards and the Hall of Fame. So let's start with the end of year awards. So the end of year awards this year are going to be stripped back and a little bit more simple. So it's going to be a case of best match of 2019, best British match of 2019, best wrestler and best British wrestler. That is it. We are keeping it nice and simple. And I'll be putting a committee together. There's going to be three of us who will be making the decisions. But we also want you to submit what your favourite match and British match of the year is, wrestler and British wrestler of the year is. So British match of the year, we are looking for a match that happened in Britain. It doesn't necessarily have to be British wrestlers, if that makes sense. You know, for instance, if Travis Banks has had a really good match, we're not going to, you know, block his entry because he's from New Zealand. We'll happily accept him because he's part of the scene and the match happened on British soil. So they're going to be the rules for the end of year awards. What I'll do is I will set up an email address where you guys can submit your entries to those categories. As well as that, of course, we have the Tuesday Night Tuesday Night Jaw Hall of Fame, the TNGA Hall of Fame, as the kids call it on the street. So here's what I propose. It's not what I propose, actually. Here's what I'm doing. That's right, Matt. You're the boss now. You can do what you want. I am retiring, slightly ironically, retiring the old TNJ Hall of Fame. That is done and dusted. The golden doors are firmly closed on that. And everyone that is in that Hall of Fame will remain in that Hall of Fame forever. And no one else will be added. And I am going to dust off the new doors to the brand new Hall of Fame here on the Matt Richards Reign of Terror on TNJ. And our Hall of Fame will now be known as the Broken Jaw Club. So the old rules, there was a few different rules in place, generally to sort of, you know, minimize stupid decisions. But we all know that I like stupid decisions. So this is what I propose. The new rule, and there is only one rule to the Broken Jaw Club, and that is if you are in the WWE Hall of Fame, you can't be in our Broken Jaw Club. That's it. I'm looking for unique picks. I'm looking for different picks. I want people choosing outside sort of choices, basically honouring how I got Milano Collection 80 into the old TNJ Hall of Fame. So, Broken Jaw Club, new Hall of Fame, bam, done, established. Only rule for our new Hall of Fame is that you cannot be submitted into our Hall of Fame if you are currently in the WWE Hall of Fame. And these decisions will be made by a committee of three. Obviously, I'm one of them. And it'll be all decided on one big episode towards the end of the year. It's going to be in that weird, like, taint between Christmas and New Year. So there you go. That's it. That's the new things on the horizon. I'm going to put out all this information on social media over the next few weeks so you guys can keep up to date with everything and submit your matches and wrestlers of the year. Right. One last thing before we get into the episode. I know it's rambly, it's really long, and I apologise. But I just wanted to say a couple of thank yous to people that helped me along the way on this episode. Shout out for Jamesy and Alan 4L for linking me up to a podcast that they did where they told a story about Alan meeting Kenta Kobashi that involved this particular matchup. It was a really nice little story, and they had it was a chat about Alan's, I think it's top 100 British wrestling matches, or top 100 matches that happened on British soil. It's a really cool list. It was published in the last Fighting Spirit magazine, and it's well worth checking out if you can get hold of it, because there is a Tetsuji match on there as well, which Craig and Gaz and myself were all like really super happy about. So big shout out to both Jamesy and Alan for their help. Shout out to Kat Adachi for some pronunciations during this podcast. I still might get some things wrong, and I apologise. My Japanese isn't very good, so hopefully it isn't too cringeworthy and I don't keep saying wrong pronunciations of people. And the final shout out is to Hisame, who helped me out with a little bit of the history when it involved Kaguchi and kind of post All Japan. Hisame's account on Twitter is a English feed for Pro Wrestling Noah updates. They cover older stuff, but they also cover newer stuff. So if you're interested in for instance, what Chris Ridgeway's been up to when he's been in Pro Wrestling Noah, they are worth a follow on Twitter. I will link the account in the description of this podcast so you can follow along all the King's Arc goodness that is on that account. Right, that is it. That's the ramble. It's done. It's coming up past 8 minutes. This is the longest intro in the world ever. But thank you so much for being patient. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And welcome to this week's edition of Tuesday Night Jaw. A quick YouTube search of Can-Am Express will bring up a WWE video entitled Boring WWE Tag Teams. A clip of the then Phil LaFon and Doug Furness in an underwhelming match on WWF TV. Only 5 years earlier, this duo were part of one of the most famous match of the years in All Japan Pro Wrestling history. This is a story of unlikely heroes, classic villains, and the five elements of a five-star classic. This is the curious case of Kobashi, Kaguchi, and the Can-Am Express.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Long before holding the All-Asia Tag Team Championships a record 5 times, Phil LaFon, known to All Japan fans as Dan Crawford, and Doug Furness would have slightly different journeys into professional wrestling. The story goes LaFon was discovered in a local Gold Gym by Davey Boy Smith and the Dynamite Kid, and then brought into the Hart family dungeon to take his first steps in professional wrestling. After spending time training under Mr. Hito, LaFon would break out into the wider Canadian territory under the name René Rougeau before a chance meeting would lead him to his path to Japan. Doug Furness would take his first steps into professional wrestling around 1986. The former world champion powerlifter and holder of 29 powerlifting records would get his start in Continental Championship Wrestling. After a few years learning under the likes of Kevin Sullivan, Buddy Landell and Terry Gordy, Doug Furness would join Dan Crawford in All Japan. Although American fans might remember him as a dude with attitude, it was really as part of the Can-Am Express in All Japan where Furness made a name for himself. During their first run with All Japan, they would meet the likes of Dynamite Kid and Davey Boy Smith, as well as Samson Fuyuki and Toshiaki Kawada. It was Fuyuki and Kawada that they actually beat in 1989 to win their first All-Asia Tag Team Championships. And they would continue to lock horns with not only the likes of the British Bulldogs, but All Japan's young talent. It was actually during the Summer Action Series in 1989 where they would meet the team of Kobashi and Kikuchi for the first time. But this would be years before their iconic encounter in Sendai. In 1990, Kobashi and the then Tiger Mask and future Mitsuhiro Misawa would actually defeat the Can-Am Express to win the All-Asia Tag Team Championships. The Can-Am Express would later recapture the titles, this time beating Dynamite Kid and Johnny Smith, heading into 1991. But it would only take the Can-Am Express a couple of weeks to retain those championships. And it would be that year when the rivalry between the Can-Am Express and the Super Generation Army upped its intensity with Kobashi, Kaguchi, and old rival Kawada all involved. The Can-Am Express would pick up a notable victory over Kawada and Kaguchi at Superpower Series 1991. The team of Mrs. Baba's favourite wrestler, Johnny Ace, and Kenta Kobashi would beat the Can-Am Express for the All Asia Tag Team titles in July of 1991. The Canadian and American duo would regain form, though, towards the end of the year and headed into the Real World Tag League. The performance in the Real Tag Team League that year was up and down, shall we say, as the finals are actually contested between Steve Williams and Terry Gordy and the Super Generation Army of Mitsuhiro Misawa and Toshiaki Kawada. But as 1992 came around, Don Crawford and Doug Furness continued to hold on to them All-Asia Tag Team Championships. And then, on the 25th of May, 1992, the match that was considered by Dave Meltzer to be the match of the year would take place in Sendai. Don Crawford and Doug Furness would defend those championships against the team of Kenta Kobashi and Yoshi Kikuchi. For me, there's five elements that make this match great. The first is the crowd that were there live to witness this piece of history. Bubbling from the very beginning, they practically explode when the action gets underway. There's a very common misconception that Japanese audiences are quiet, but that couldn't be further from the truth. Watch any major match from the 90s in All Japan, and that myth is busted instantly. But that shouldn't diminish how special this crowd was. There was a magic in the air that night in Sendai. The second and third elements are Crawford and Furness playing their roles in this match to perfection. In this All Japan formula, the Can-Ams were the chemical that causes the explosion of emotion from the crowd. The villainous Westerners that have the All Asian Championships depriving our heroes of glory. The fourth element wasn't quite the precious material he'd become in later years, but even in 1992, you could tell that Kenta Kobashi was no fool's gold. As previously mentioned, he'd been a tag team champion before and was more than capable of shining bright in the spotlight. Barrel-chested, youthful and handsome, Kobashi was the most obvious choice to be the jewel in the King's Road crown. But at this moment in time, he only wished to show he was battle-tested and ready for war. The fifth and final element is maybe aesthetically at least the most surprising. More stout than striking, Kikuchi didn't sparkle like Kobashi, but like a lump of coal under pressure. In the heat of the contest, he would show just how valuable he was to this moment in history. And it was in this moment where his talent would shine through. Arguably no one garnered sympathy quite like him, absorbing punishment from these man mountains only to defiantly kick out. And as the match ebbed and flowed, Kikuchi would do just that. Isolated and out-muscled, he found himself in peril.
Lariatto, so the jogai ni nage seta. Sa, Kikuchi, pinch desu. Zettai zetsumei no pinch. Kakushin ni michita Kurowatta no kono hyoujou. Mochiron, mochiron yuku wa Tiger Driver ka. Hiza o otosu, sou wa sasuji. Hidomaru taichi no Kikuchi.
The arrogant cover from Crawford, the confidence in Furness's count, all add to the desperation of Kikuchi's kickout. Besides themselves, the Can-Am Express grab the referee, which pours petrol on the fire that is the crowd inside the Miyagi Sports Center. Crawford and Furness warm their hands on the flames before looking to extinguish the burning hearts of Kikuchi and Kobashi. The final throes of the fight resemble that of a Rocky movie. Impossible offense against improbable odds. Excitement, drama, and most importantly, emotion. This match was everything that 90s All Japan stood for. Maybe more than any other, this match embodies what this new crop of Japanese stars was. Donned in bright and bold colours, this Super Generation Army resembled a Super Sentai squad. But this wasn't Tommy or Billy, this was Giant Baba's set of superheroes on a mission to kickstart the new generation of Japanese wrestling. There's no questioning just how special this matchup is, and I implore you to seek it out on YouTube. It's there, it's easy to find, and it still holds up today. But that kind of leaves us with the question, what happened to the heroes and villains of this story? Kobashi would become stuff of legend in All Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah. Foes such as Misawa, Akiyama, Marufuji, and even Yuji Nagata would fall. But arguably his greatest victory came against Kanta, which he defeated before returning to in-ring action in late 2007. For Doug Furness and Don Crawford, 4 years worth of tours laid ahead, as they continued to be regulars within the company. They shared a ring with not only high-profile Japanese stars, but fellow Western wrestlers such as Steve Williams and Stan Hansen. In 1996, the duo would trade the Super Generation for the New Generation, as they joined the World Wrestling Federation.
Furness and LaFont have been tag team partners for about 8 years. All-Asian tag team champions spent most of their career in Japan. And TL now. Oh my goodness.
In 1996, Crawford would become Philippe Lafon, and the team would debut at Survivor Series at the historic Madison Square Garden. Teaming with the Godwins, they'd end up on the winning side against the team of the New Rockers, Owen Hart and British Bulldog. A fairy tale start then? Well, not so much. This match is one of the most forgettable Survivor Series matchups in history, as it was plagued by injuries and mishaps throughout. Following their debut at the Garden, they'd do a series of house show matches against the New Rockers and Fake Diesel and Fake Razor, before making an appearance on Monday Night Raw. They would share the ring with Owen and British Bulldog again, even getting a count-out victory over the then tag team champions. But the company would soon lose faith. A year later, after their debuts at Survivor Series 1997, their WWF dreams were all but over. Throughout 96 and 97, they'd compete in ECW as part of an agreement between Vince McMahon and Paul Heyman. A high-profile match against Rob Van Dam and Sabu would be Crawford and Furness's proper introduction to ECW. They would later actually capture the ECW World Tag Team Championships, beating Little Guido and Tracy Smothers of the FBI in late 1997. But they would immediately lose those titles the day after on a taping of Hardcore TV to Chris Candido and Lance Storm. An injury to LaFon would leave Furness as a singles wrestler through 1998. He'd actually have a couple of opportunities to wrestle Rob Van Dam for the World Television Championship, but without his longtime tag team partner, Doug Furness started to wind down his time in ECW. And as for Kikuchi, I think it's fair to say that he had a solid career that maybe didn't quite live up to the heights of 1992. After losing the tag team championships to the Patriot and the Eagle, Kikuchi would return predominantly to the junior heavyweight division, occasionally going for the All-Asia Tag Team Championships again. In 2000, Kikuchi would make the jump to Pro Wrestling Noah with Misawa, Kobashi, and Akiyama. In a tournament to crown the first ever GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion, Kikuchi would fall in the semifinals to the eventual winner, Kenamura. Apart from moments of fighting off an outside threat from the likes of Jushin Thunder Liger, Minoru Tanaka, and Koji Kanemoto, Kikuchi's career continued in a similar vein to that he had in All Japan. consistent and solid, although maybe missing the spirit of the 90s. As we reach the end of this story, the question does remain of why didn't it work in WWF for the Can-Am Express? It's a hard question to answer because I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. Maybe it was the way they were portrayed. Maybe it was the way they were presented. Maybe it was the way they were booked. This, after all, was the period in WWF history where the cartoon, larger-than-life characters were starting to be filtered out, but they'd yet found the edge that was the Attitude Era. Maybe that was the plan with sending them to ECW. Maybe they were hoping Lafon and Furnas would find an attitude, an aesthetic that fitted what WWF envisioned for their future. If WWF and WCW was where the big boys play, maybe it was the size of the heart in the fighters in All Japan that counted most. Let's take Kikuchi, for instance. In that moment in 1992, he was the perfect person in the perfect match, telling the perfect story. And maybe that's what Doug Furnas and Dan Crawford were at that time in All Japan. Right guys, right place, right time. Regardless if you perceive their tenure in WWF to be unremarkable, or even, to use the terminology that the company have labelled them with, as boring, we'll still always have that magical moment on May 25th, 1992.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.